Well, good afternoon. Good to see a full house here. This is a split sermon, so we do have a second message as well. Well, good to see everybody. I'm glad you're here. Made it safely. It's always a trip from Melissa, where we are, a good 65 miles, so it's a good trip, and sometimes there's a wreck or two, which there was on the way as well, so hopefully nobody was hurt. In June of this year, Mr. Whitlark began a multi-part series on the will of God. You'll recall that I think it turned out to probably 13, 14 parts on trying to grasp and understand the will of God in our lives. I thought they were very good. But are there times in your life where you just don't know the will of God? Anybody out there? Yeah. What about which college to go to? Do you know God's will in your life for which college you should go to if you're a young person? What about whom to date? What about whom to marry? What about how many kids you have? We've got the blessing of little children. How many kids do you have? What's God's will in your life for how many kids you have? Or in vitro, I can't have children. Is it God's will in my life that I have children some other way? Adoption. What's God's will? What about divorcing a spouse who has been unfaithful to you? Should you divorce them or should you not? You don't have to. What's God's will in that case? And one that is definitely, it seems to overshadow us many times, is what about disease? I need healing. I need healing. God, this is what I want. Please, I'm begging you, do this for me. But what's God's will? What's His will in your life? Someone with cancer. They're gathering information. What's the appropriate treatment? Which treatment should I choose? There may be three or four options. Or should I choose no treatment? Or a dying parent? And that process of death. And there's many circumstances and questions, and you're praying, God, help me. I don't know what to do. Where do you live? Do you quit your lucrative job to pursue your dream that you've had all your life? Should I fund the education for my children, or should they work part-time? What about if one of the child has an impairment? How much should I require of them to work or not work? How much should I help them out to where it's not going to hinder them? It's going to help them. Help them enough that they don't give up, but I don't want to give them so much help to where it hurts them. Because life can be tough, right? Life can be tough. And I don't want to step in at every incident for my child and say, I've got this for you. I've got this for you. I'll take care of that one. I don't want that either. So how much direction and guidance should I give my children? Should parents monitor their teens, their social media activities? And to what degree? What degree oversteps the line? COVID-19 questions. In part one of that message that on the will of God, Mr. Whitlark prefaced it with these words. Under the current circumstances, all of us need to seriously consider what is the best decision for us regarding attending live church services. Age, health, and other considerations must be weighed so that we can decide what is the best approach for each of us to take. Some of us feel safe enough to attend in person, while others will decide what is best to wait a bit longer as conditions change over time. Whatever decision you make should be honored and respected by the other brethren here and the DFW congregations of United Church of God. What's God's will for you? Should you be a church? Should you not? What are your circumstances? How do you weigh all of this to where you can say, I know what God's will is in this circumstance? It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. Very difficult. We have all these truths in the Scripture, and yet, oftentimes, we don't know, in particular circumstances, what the will of God is. We don't know. We strive to understand the will of God, but frankly, our petitions don't equal the will of God. Right? Our petitions frequently don't equal the will of God. They just don't. I've seen people adopt children, and things go very, very well. And they say, well, we prayed about this. This is God's will. And then the entire thing falls apart. Was it God's will? I've seen people marry another party, and everything went so smoothly. And after they're married, it falls all apart. What was God's will? What was God's will? We especially want to know God's will in times of suffering and in times of weakness. And so, because I'm not omniscient, and neither are you, I append to my prayers, as Christ gave us an example, Father, not my will, but yours. Because like you, I'm prone, I'm biased to want my wants. To want my wants. And not necessarily what's needed for me. Now, Steve Myers gave a sermon some time ago, and he was addressing this and how we might talk to other people. He says, you say, well, pray more about that. Pray more about that. Or we say, well, read your Bible more. Read your Bible more. Or fast more. Or have more faith. Or if you were closer to God, you wouldn't have these problems. Depressed people, you know, aren't close enough to God. You know, you shouldn't be having these kind of problems. You know, we simply oversimplify things. I find that to resonate very much for me, and probably you do too. We can oversimplify the complexities of life and have a bullet point, 1, 2, 3, here's your decision tree. But what happens when that's not on the decision tree? It's just not there. And so sometimes in my life, I have been praying and I don't know what to express to God. I don't know what to say. Sometimes the only words that can come out are, Abba, Father. That's it. That's it. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you just, help me, help me? Well, I have. And we're going to go back to Romans 8 again. Romans 8. Now, if you haven't learned by now, this book is chock full. And as I've said in the past, if there's one book I would keep, if I only had one book on an island somewhere, this would be the book. This would be the book. In Romans 8, we've learned that we have tremendous reason to hope. There is a groaning creation which will be freed from its bondage of corruption. We groan as well. And we're looking for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Right? That's hopeful. That's hopeful. I don't want to have this corrupted body, this decaying body forever. In fact, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? We are His children, His sons. We groan, we await the adoption of our bodies. And we ended in verse 24 and verse 25 of Romans. And it says, "For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." And I said, you've got two things you need to have while you're waiting. And that is patience and endurance. But what about my weaknesses? What about my limitations? Clint Eastwood movie years ago, and Clint Eastwood's looking in the distance, and I forget the context of the movie, but I remember the line. He looks out and he says, "A man's got to know his limitations." Do you know your limitations? Do you know how weak you really are? Do you? Verse 26. Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." So, some observations here. Verse 26 says, "likewise." It's pointing back to something. That points back to verse 24 and verse 25, which addresses the issue of hope. We're saved in this hope. So, what is he saying in these verses that give hope? Why should we hope? "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses." Paul says, our weaknesses. Isn't that interesting? He includes himself. And this is this champion of a man, I would think, spiritually. And he says, I include myself in weaknesses. I'm including myself. Now, the infirmities, or these weaknesses, are feebleness of mind and body, moral and physical, frailty, disease, sickness, weakness. You can look it up in Strong 769. And this word helps. It means to come alongside of someone. I don't know if you've ever cut logs. You've been out in the woods and you cut a big log with a chainsaw and you try to pick that thing up. You said, there's no way I can move this. You pick up one side of it. You said, I need some help. So you go get someone, a son, perhaps if you have one, or a neighbor, and they get on the other side of that log and they lift with you. That's this word. It's to come alongside. It's to help with. It's not bearing all the burden by itself. The Spirit is not doing all the work. You're doing some of it. You're doing some lifting. It's the same word that's used by Martha. You recall the story when Martha says to Jesus, "Tell Mary to come help me make this dinner." She didn't want to quit making dinner. She wanted her to come help her and assist her with making dinner. So again, it's the same concept of helping. Because I am just too weak to sustain myself. Now he gets specific. I think it's broader than only our prayers, but in this example that Paul gives, he talks about our prayers. "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." I think the King James Version does a better job of translating this. It removes the he pronoun, and because it is a neuter word in Greek, and so it should be it or itself. Now notice, he says, not how to pray, but what to pray. Now, Jesus gave many examples of how to pray. Here's how you pray. But there is no way he could have given every circumstance that every human being who comes into the faith, who's called by God, and said, let me give you how to pray for that one. Let me give you what to pray for that one. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Because we're limited, the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. And then it says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. And there's a debate, are these groanings our groanings, or are these the groanings of the Holy Spirit? I think they are our groanings. I think there's a joint agency that's going on here. And there's groanings within us, if you have the Spirit of God, that you don't know what to do, you don't know what to pray, and yet there's a groaning, there's a sighing within you. You can't express that. You don't know how to vocalize that. And the Spirit, in joint agency, it works to take that groaning and amplify it and move it and transmit it to God. So again, most likely it's our groanings for those who are found that do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's verse 1. Verse 6, those who are spiritually minded, and those who follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But in following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we still, in our weakness, fail. Our sighs and our groans are the natural language of our hearts. So the Spirit petitions, it intercedes for us with these groanings, because my vocalized prayers are insufficient. Again, I need help, and you need help. And so the Spirit intercedes. Verse 27, it says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This he is the Father. And many scriptures we could allude to talk about the Father searching the heart. You can see that in the Old and the New Testament. But he searches the heart. God knows the mind of the Spirit. The word mind there could be better translated the will, the aspirations, the desire of the Spirit, the inclination, the purpose. And now the second half of that verse, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now I find that just startling. That is amazing. If the Father knows the intention of the Spirit, then it follows intercession is being made according to his will. The transmission of my groans as I battle in my weakness, my trials, my suffering, is transmitted to God as a petition in perfect accord with God's will 100% of the time through the Spirit. It says, in accordance with God's will. So the Spirit of God knows my needs. Again, I might be praying for my wants. I'm trying to pray for my needs. But the Spirit knows the needs. And the Spirit hears those groans, those words which we can't utter. And again, it petitions God the Father on our behalf. And so that prayer is 100% in accord with God's will. The Holy Spirit, therefore, makes overcoming possible for us. And because we have the Spirit, then the sighs, the tears, the sobbing of unutterable emotion and pains are sent in petition to God with 100% accordance to his will. Now, I think that's a stronghold for hope. I think that's a stronghold for hope. And Paul immediately says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Why are you saying that, Paul? Because the Spirit is working to send your needs to the Father. But that's not the only part. As we said in the previous messages, you have this hope. Remember Romans 8 verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are walking not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who have the mind of Christ. For those who live according to the Spirit. And the hope of this mortal body, this adoption, this redemption, this changing of my body, hope. But again, that's hope in the future. And Paul says, what about hope now? I've got some hope for you. You have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to know to send your needs to the Father. The Father knows. The Father knows exactly what you're going through. The Father knows exactly what you're dealing with your children, with your parents, with your work, with your school. I said last time, what's your problem? What's your problem? He knows. He's fully aware of it. He knows your need. He knows your need. He knows your need. My Father knows. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us, and therefore God knows our wants better than we do. And He fills our needs. The Spirit pleads in our prayers, which raises us to higher and holier desires than we can audibly express. I love how Isaiah 41:10 puts it. You can write this down. This is from the Living Bible. It says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold up you with my victorious right hand. That's right. That's right. I have hope through future glory, and I have hope through the Spirit. The Scottish theologian Robert Haldane said, on the hills of hope for glory, and perhaps a response, well, that's nice, but what about now? He says, but as they might still object, how, even admitting the force of these encouragement, can we, who are so weak in ourselves and so inferior in power to the enemies we have to encounter, bear up under so many trials? The apostle in the verse before us points out an additional and internal source of encouragement of the highest consideration, namely, that the Holy Spirit helps their infirmities and also prays for them, which is sufficient to allay every desponding fear and to communicate the strongest consolation. So our failure to know God's will and consequent inability to petition God specifically and assuredly is met by God's Spirit, who expresses to God through intercession and petitions that perfectly match the will of God. Moose says, when we do not know what to pray for, yes, even when we pray for things that are not best for us, we need not despair, for we can depend on the Spirit's ministry, a perfect intercession on our behalf. Are there times in your life when you just don't know what the will of God is? I think so. Circumstances and dilemmas frequently arise where we do not know His will. We're so weak and so limited in our humanity, and issues can be complex. What started off pretty simple, we might make a mistake here, there, and there. And then in the end, The issue is so complex it can't be unraveled. What do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? The Spirit's petition is in perfect accord with God's will. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. I'll just close, and I'll read this from the New Living Translation, verses 26 through 28. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them.